Welcome to Showdown. I'm Mark Kaysen, and it is Tuesday, and that's June the 4th. And the most important thing that's happening in the country today. No, I'm lying. It's not. But you would think it is. Hunter Biden? Really? Why? What a waste of money. What a waste of time. What a waste of energy. And why is anybody talking about this? Here's what we know. Hunter Biden bought a gun. Shouldn't have a gun anyway. None of these people should. But let's forget that part. Hunter Biden bought a gun. And he signed a piece of paper that said he's not an addict. Well, he's an addict. So now what? He lied. And what are we going to do about it? I just can't wait to find out what we're going to do about it. We know he lied. He's going to say he didn't think he was an addict when he signed the paper because he had been clean for however many days. It's not the point. The point is, he signed a paper and he's in trouble because he lied. And honestly, are we going to hang him? Is he going to go to jail for life? Yeah, Ben, you're right. He's a hot mess of a person. Yes, he is. Now what? Spend the rest of our lives talking about him? I mean, what is the difference? Yeah, Michael says, does a form ask if you've ever beaten up your spouse? You know, it is ridiculous. I mean, we've got so many things to worry about. And we're going to sit around and worry about whether Hunter Biden lied on a piece of paper when we know that he lied. He lied on the paper. The only question is going to be, legally, can he get away with that lie? It might work. It might not. But what's the difference? What do we care? How does it affect policy? How does it affect the way anybody's living? The answer is, it has no effect on anything. Oh, it's going to have an effect on Hunter Biden. And by the way, whatever they decide, I would bet anything that what they're going to do to him is going to be so minor that it won't even be worth having had this conversation. It's going to be minor because it should be. There is nothing that Hunter Biden has done. Certainly nothing he's done that's being discussed in this courtroom that merits a single additional minute of our time. Absolutely nothing. Hunter Biden means nothing to us. I mean, he means as much as Roger Clinton or Billy Carter. Really, these people are nobodies. They're related to somebody who's the president of the United States. And so what? Why would we care? Will it affect your life tomorrow? Will you get anything out of this tomorrow? Yeah, Billy made great beer. Yeah. The whole conversation is just bizarre. Now, Lizzie wants to know who's a nobody. So, Lizzie, I'm going to tell you who a nobody is. Hunter Biden is a nobody. He's nobody. Is he anybody to you? I don't think so. What are you going to do tomorrow based on something related to Hunter Biden? Answer is nothing. Would you like to get a hold of his laptop? I mean, there's nothing on his laptop. Why don't you come look at my laptop? You can read articles from now until forever. I got interesting things on my laptop. Hunter Biden's got nothing. Trust me. A receipt for some drugs? Who cares? We know he bought drugs. The man bought drugs. The man used drugs. The man's got a problem. Lizzie saw photos on his laptop. You know what, Lizzie? I'm afraid to even know what those photos are. Nothing that matters. Nothing that matters. Oh, stop it. Now she's starting this little girl business. I'm telling you this. Hunter Biden probably doesn't have any little girls. I know Joe Biden has none. Zero. If Joe Biden had one little girl, let me tell you something. She'd be all over CNN, MSNBC, CBS, ABC, you name it, everywhere. Nobody has been molested by the Bidens. There you go. Michael's got it. They were making pizza. The same place where Hillary was eating children. What a waste of time. Why are we having this conversation? I mean, let's talk about, you know, Hillary's children that she was eating in the basement. And by the way, the pizza place didn't have a basement. Okay. Anybody want to waste their time talking about this? I mean, we've already killed 8 minutes. For what? For nothing. Ashley Biden. I already have seen all this Ashley Biden stuff. Ashley Biden said that they're all lying. You're watching doctored videos, Lizzie. I mean, you can watch doctored videos from now till forever. Ashley Biden says it's a lie. Ashley Biden and the rest of them all say that those videos were doctored. It's just not true. It never happened. She says it never happened. Now, you can say she says it did happen, and I'm going to say she says it didn't happen. And you know what? You're going to be out tonight at Sam's, where we've run into each other, Lizzie, and your very nice husband. And we'll all be out there buying junk, trying to get the best prices. And if I were you, I'd worry about those prices. And I'd stop worrying about made-up stories about people eating children, you know, cutting up body parts. Ben will be at Winty's drinking beer. Good point, Ben. No, I agree. That's probably a good idea. I blame the prices on the Biden's administration. Well, you know what? You can do that. We can have that conversation. Now, I did promise, although I'm sort of like Trump, I lie. I promised Joe in the studio here that I was going to bring some charts and so forth, but I didn't do it today. But I will bring it, but I lied. So, you know, hang me. You know, hang Mike Pence, hang Mark Kaysen. I mean, it's all the same. Let's talk about immigration. Now, you know, I have tried to get some people from the International Institute of St. Louis downtown to come on the air and talk about some of their experiences with immigrants. I wish they would, and I think they will. They say they're going to, but they just keep not following through. So, hopefully they will. However, what we've got today is Joe Biden doing something absolutely stupid. He signed an executive order to shut down the border if the crossings get above 2,500, which they're already up to 4,000 a day. So I guess they're going to shut down the border. Or they're going to say they shut down the border. Or they're going to pretend they shut down the border. Or something like that. And anyway, everybody says, the experts, that you couldn't shut it down if you wanted to anyhow. How are you going to do that? Line people up at the border? Don't tell me about a wall. They climb walls. They climb walls. They dig under walls. You can't worry about a wall. Now, you could put a guy at the border, line them all up, thousands of people at the border, give them all guns, and if anybody tries to cross, shoot them. Now, that'll close it. But since we're not going to do that, nor should we, I mean, why don't we be serious about this? In the first place, we've got 10 million people in the United States who came here, let's say 20 years ago, because their parents came and they were brought here as little kids. And they are working, hiding, finding any way they can to exist here. Although they've got some protection under that DACA program, but I would say not much. They're scared. And the truth is that many of these people, in fact, the vast majority, and I mean the vast majority, have done nothing. Some may have broken the law, because any group of people will have some who broke the law. I can assure you that there are talk show hosts who have broken the law, probably some who have done much worse than that. So, what should we do? Line them up? Deport them? Come on, be sensible. Immigrants are not a problem. The problem is that we won't take care of this immigration problem. And we can take care of it. First of all, and it's such a shame, I talk about this all the time, we could send 1 million high school graduates to the border. You know, like the Peace Corps? Send them to the border and arrange for when the people come over for these kids to mentor the immigrants coming across the border. By the way, if you open the border, bring the people in, have them sign documents, let us know where they are. We're not going to come and get them and do bad things to them. You know, if they're here, they need to obey the law. Let them have a Social Security card. Let them go to work. And let them stay here as long as they don't break the law. If they break the law, let's catch them. And you know what? We're going to go catch anybody that breaks the law. That's what we do. If we find people who break the law, we catch them. And when we catch them, we do things to them. Yeah. Like Donald Trump. He broke the law for 40 years and we finally caught him. We caught him. We put him on trial. And now we're going to do something to him. About time. And that's what we do. Let's go get these criminals like Trump and let's put them on trial and then give them appropriate punishments. Some of them, the appropriate punishment might be to deport them if they're immigrants who have come over here and broken our laws. Maybe we have to deport those. I don't know. If they break our laws, or if, let's say, if they're murderers. You know, there's so few of them that do anything serious, we could figure out what to do about it. And we wouldn't have any trouble finding them because the numbers are minuscule. Okay, you want the data on this? I've got it for you. Go to talkstl.net. That's my website. talkstl.net. And then go to the reading room. And scroll down, there's an article on immigration, and it's got all the numbers about who commits crimes. Immigrants or people who are born here? The answer, of course, is the people who are born here. The immigrants are not committing crimes. The immigrants are just trying to work. You know, like those guys, what was it, 5 or 6, that died in Baltimore on the bridge? Trying to fix the bridge. Yeah, those were all immigrants. They were just trying to fix the bridge. They got knocked off the bridge. But they were just trying to do work and then go home to their families. And that's what most immigrants are doing, including our families. Our families, our people who came here before us, they worked. They did their best. They didn't break any laws. And they gave us a chance to go to college and become all the things that many of us have become. All of us. It's a country of immigrants. You know, you've got a statue in New York. And that statue says, if you're poor, if you're miserable, come here. Bring us your masses. Yearning to be free. Bring them here. We put it out there. It says, come. So just let them come. Do what we said. We've been doing it. It works. Now, I admit, we were pretty mean to the Chinese who were working on our railroads. We did some bad things there. But bring these people in. Mexicans came here in 1915, 16, and 17. We opened the doors to them. And when they got here, we've shoved them onto a boat and sent them to Europe to die for the United States. And believe me, that stopped them. Oh, they stopped coming in for a while. They definitely didn't want to take that boat. So, yeah, there's a whole history of all of this, which, by the way, nobody in this country knows any of this. I shouldn't say no one. 0.1%. You know, history professors, they know. A lot of history teachers, you know, in K through 12 probably wouldn't know this. I understand why they're not teaching it at school, but maybe we should teach it at school. Maybe the kids should find out about this. Maybe the kids should be encouraged to read something, which they hate. They don't want to read anything. Kids want to watch TikTok. Don't blame them. Blame mommy and daddy. Really, blame mommy and daddy. Go to their house, sit at their table at dinner, and watch mommy and daddy reading their telephones. So what do you think the kids are going to do? And it is addicting. But that doesn't mean that they don't have to read. They can read a book. I read the newspapers on my phone, although I have papers actually delivered to me, many. I have them delivered. I bring them to school. I put them in the kids' faces. I make them touch a newspaper. Even if they refuse to read it, I make them touch it. I want them to see it. I want them to know something about it. But they can read it online as well. I have kids reading the New York Times from the 1930s so that they can read about World War II. Those are primary documents. They're all available at a place called timesmachine.com. Great place. When I was 14, 15 years old, I went to the library in downtown Los Angeles, and I read the microfilm of the New York Times and the Los Angeles Times as well. Really interesting. Just stories. Interesting things about people. It wasn't to pass a history exam. It wasn't to remember something. It was just to read the stories. The advertisements are kind of interesting. See the difference in prices. You want to talk about inflation? Go take a look at what it costs to buy something in World War II and what it costs today. Don't tell me Joe Biden did it. Stop that. Inflation is part of our life. In fact, you have to have inflation. They don't want to have runaway inflation, but we did that to Germany ourselves. At the end of 1918, we charged them more money than they could possibly ever pay, and we destroyed everything about the place. Opened the door to people accepting a lunatic like Adolf Hitler. Yeah, we did part of that. Of course, then we turned around 20 years later because of Cordell Hull and George Marshall and some others. And we did the opposite. And we turned Germany and Japan into our best friends. Everybody thinks they know something. America First. America First was actually Charles Lindbergh, who was hanging out with Hitler. Come on. Do you know anything? America First is a horrible idea. It never worked. And after World War II, I mean, we did America First. We said it's in America's interest to rebuild Germany and Japan. I'll tell you right now, it would be in America's interest to immediately rebuild Gaza. All of Palestine. Shower them with money. It would be in our interest. And by the way, we'll end up doing it. The longer we wait, the more people who will die. But we're going to end up doing it. And we're also going to do the exact same thing in Ukraine. And we should. By the way, remember this. We promised Ukraine. Promised them. That we would protect them. So are we supposed to lie and now say, yeah, we promise, but forget it. America First. It's a stupid idea anyway. And it doesn't work. We've tried it repeatedly. Every time we try it, it's an isolationist idea that leads towards fascism, and it is stupidity. How many times we have to do the same stupid thing over and over? We just sent weapons to Ukraine, and Ukraine is shooting those weapons into Russia, which we gave them permission to now, And they're shooting down all kinds of Russian assets that they're using against Ukraine. And I can tell you right now that if Vladimir Putin thinks he's going to go berserk in Ukraine and then switch off into Poland, he's going to run into NATO and he is going to be a sorry guy. And believe me, the Russians themselves will remove him before we even have to do anything about it. There is no way that Russia and its $1 trillion economy that is smaller than Texas and California, there's no way that they want to destroy themselves any further. They're a mess. All the money over there belongs to Vladimir Putin. He has stolen it all, along with his buddies. The Russians aren't thrilled about that, but there's nothing they can do about it. But all we have to do is keep them out of Ukraine. If you don't know anything about this, go to foreignaffairs.com. Foreignaffairs.com is the number one foreign affairs magazine in the world. It's been out there since 1921. Foreign Affairs Magazine, you can go pick it up today. Probably costs $8 a copy. You can buy a subscription to it, probably $30. And it'll get you into the archives too. And you can read everything. And the reason I want you to read the archives is because there's an article from 1947, and it's by George Kennan. George Kennan explains beautifully how incompetent the Russians are. And they're the same today. I mean, they could write great literature, and they had people that created great music, but they can't do anything. Everything they do fails. No wonder they love Donald Trump, our criminal, because everything he does fails. So I guess they have some kind of a rapport between them. At any rate, go read George Kennan in 1947, because he explains in detail exactly why all you have to do is keep Russia where it is. Just keep them right there, because they can't do anything right. They will wreck themselves, as they have every time. Every time they wreck themselves, they try to recreate Russia. Maybe someday they'll do it right. Maybe someday we'll help them to do it right, like we did for Germany and Japan, which is probably the only way they're going to ever get out of the mess that they're in. And that brings up another key point. The United States is the country in the world that actually does know what it's doing. I think we're probably the best when it comes to technology, when it comes to research, medicine. Our universities are clearly the best. Everybody that wants to go to the university from around the world, they send their kids here. I mean, I'm not saying nobody goes to the Sorbonne. Of course they do in Paris. I know people go to Oxford in England. That's all true. But, you know, those are one or two here or there. The vast majority of great universities are right here in the United States. So we need to stop telling everybody that our universities are a waste of time and take advantage of the fact that they produce greatness for this country. They absolutely do. If you don't believe it, it's probably because you've never gone to a university. I went to UCLA, and I can tell you that UCLA is top-notch for a reason. It's the best. You go to UCLA, you will learn a lot. Now, don't get me wrong. Right here in St. Louis, Washington University. There you go. SLU isn't bad, but Wash U is the top of the line. Michael went to Wash U. People who have gone to great universities and get great educations know a lot about the world. They just do. I'm not saying that if you didn't go to a university that you're a moron. People will say that I said it, but I didn't. And it's not true. You're not a moron. But there's just no question that if you've gone to one of the great universities in the United States, you know a lot. Now, you might not be a welder, and we need welders. And you might not be an engineer because you might want to go to Rolla if you want to be a great engineer. I don't know. Or MIT. But all I'm saying is we've got great education research in this country, and that makes this country better than everybody in the world. It really does. Go to World War II. End of World War II, everybody thought this or that would happen. They all had different ideas, but you know what? We sent all our returning people from the war to the universities for free and created the greatest 20 years of growth in the history of the world. Why would we be afraid to do that same thing all over again? Oh, no. Instead, let's just go beat up on Fauci. You know, Fauci was at a hearing yesterday. Let's go beat up on Anthony Fauci, one of our great researchers. Let's just kick him around. Let's call him names. Let's say that he was trying to destroy America. Let's say that he was killing people. None of that's true. Of course not. I don't know what he did. Did he make any mistakes? I'll bet he did, because everybody makes mistakes. I mean, what are we trying to prove? That we can take great researchers and make them look stupid? And by the way, in doing all of that, these people in Congress have ended up making themselves look stupid. But I do understand that for their people, I know we call it the base, whatever, for their people, they think that it's really cool because they put down some genius researcher who spent 40 years serving the United States of America. And so everybody jumps up and down and claps like a seal. Why? Because they think they made Fauci look bad? And actually they didn't. They didn't even do that. Well, and yes, Michael, and scare all the researchers from ever wanting to work in the government. And that's all we're doing right now, because who would want to? Who would want to come out of one of these research universities and end up working for the United States government and then having some moron in Congress screaming at them? And by the way, some of these morons in Congress have Ivy League educations and know better. But they say what they say because they think somebody will like them. They think somebody will send them money. In fact, they will. It's people who are eating dog food. You know, there are people right now who are eating dog food in the United States, poor. They have no food, so they're eating dog food. But you know what? If they can find $1, they'll send it to Donald Trump, because Trump has sold them a bill of goods. Well, just like every con man and grifter has ever done throughout history. So, look, we're not going to eat dog food. We're going to eat good food. Remember now, all my advertisers are rigged. So let's start with Wendy's, where you can get great food. No one eats dog food at Wendy's. They pay for it, and they get great food. And I would start with, baby back ribs and onion rings. But, you know, you might want the wings, and you might want patty melts and hamburgers. I mean, I love that stuff. I love patty melts. But baby back ribs, that's my number one. And those onion rings are great. They got salads. They got pizza. Come on, pizza. Great food at Wendy's. It's all rigged so that you'll love it, so that you'll be so happy that you'll keep coming back. It's rigged. And on top of that, great people at Wendy's, including Ben, if you're lucky. If you're lucky to find him there, you'll enjoy meeting Ben and his wife, who developed all this Wendy's in the first place. And all I can tell you is you will love Wendy's at 18,000 Chesterfield Airport Road. That's 18,000 Chesterfield Airport Road in the Valley. Great food at Wendy's. Now, if you're looking for jewelry, I'm going to send you to 4506 Hampton, and that's in St. Louis. And my good friend Al runs this terrific jewelry store. It's called Jewels on Hampton. And they do everything. They buy and sell coins and jewelry, great prices. They'll design jewelry for you using their own creative abilities, or maybe whatever you tell them to do, they can do that too. They're really excellent jewelers. They'll also fix your watch for you if you've got a really valuable watch that you want taken care of and put back together again. They'll do that, and they'll do it well, and they'll do it for great prices. And that's Jewels on Hampton. They're nice people. That's Al and his son, AJ, at 4506 Hampton, where everything having to do with jewelry is right there. That's Jewels on Hampton. Now, when it comes to men's clothing, you know that I dress as nice as I can. I'm not the best fashion person in the world, but I'm pretty good. But I don't do it myself. I go to the St. Louis Suit Company, and they dress me up. St. Louis Suit Company is on the corner of Central and Forsyth in Clayton. Great prices on suits. But remember, I've already talked about the fact that the fashion today appears to be people buying sport coats. Everybody wants sport coats, they tell me. And I'm sure they wouldn't tell me it if it weren't true. So people want sport coats, and they've got them at the St. Louis Suit Company. They also have shirts, ties for $5. Come on. I promise you this. Everybody who has gone there to the St. Louis Suit Company and bought one of those $5 ties has come back to me and said, I cannot believe these ties. They love them. And they can't believe they're $5. And I run into people all the time, and they see the ties, and I say, look, these are, you know, nice tie, huh? They go, yeah. I say, yeah, $5. They go, where? And I send them to St. Louis Suit Company. It's great. I mean, they sell other things, too. They sell shoes that, you know, are basically, they look like tennis shoes anyway. They're not Chucks. You know, I got my Chucks. But they got shoes. They got everything. I mean, their dress shoes are really great. Just, I don't know. Do people wear dress shoes anymore? I guess somebody does. But I wear my Chucks with my suits. But that's me. So anyway, St. Louis Suit Company. It's on the corner of Central and Forsyth in Clayton. You've got Jay and you've got Nick. Jay's the dad. Nick's the son. The family's there too. Everything's terrific at this store, and they also take care of weddings. Very, very good. when it comes to weddings. It's a St. Louis suit company in Clayton. Okay. So here's one for you. I've talked in the past about the fact that when I was 11 years old, I read Profiles in Courage. I read Profiles in Courage a couple years later. I read, and that of course, I say by John Kennedy, but everybody knows that it was really at least partially written by Ted Sorensen with John Kennedy, presumably, I guess. I hope. I mean, I believe it was. So, okay. And so that's one. And then a couple years later, I read a book called The True Believer. And that was by Eric Hoffer. Tough book to read. When I read it, I was like 13, 14 years old. And I had to have a dictionary with me because I could hardly understand it. And then when I read it today, I laugh and I think that's funny because now, of course, I understand every word. But when I was 13, 14, it was a challenge. But the big one was absolutely Profiles in Courage. It was inspiring. And it inspired me to be involved in politics and journalism. I mean, I never ran for anything, and I, at this point, am not going to, although you got Ray out here. Ray Hartman's running for the 2nd Congressional District. And I'll tell you this. There are a lot of us who are out here who I think qualify to be Profiles in Courage. Ray is 72 years old, out here taking on Ann Wagner. It's not cheap. Takes a lot of time. And you have to be committed. And he is. He believes in what he's out here doing. And he's not just pushing some crazy liberal agenda, although he's very liberal, of course. Probably not as liberal as I am, but close. And here's the thing. There are a lot of people out here who have qualified to be Profiles in Courage. Certainly Liz Cheney is one, although everybody wants to kick her now and say bad things about her. I said bad things about her forever because she followed a right-wing conservative lunacy, as far as I was concerned, that I really didn't like. But I never wanted to see anything bad happen to her. Not even to her father. And I know there were people who said really bad things about her father, Dick Cheney. Oh, they hated him. No, I didn't hate him. Just wanted him out of office. I wanted Ronald Reagan out of office. I was in California when Ronald Reagan was governor. He tore that place apart. Everybody at the University of California, professors, were all trying to find anywhere to go to get away from Ronald Reagan and the lunacy that he was placing on the university system in that state. But today, everybody talks about Ronald Reagan like some kind of a hero because the Russians finally imploded, which was not Ronald Reagan. I know everybody says it is, and that's okay. If you think it is, believe it if you like. But it was George Kennan. George Kennan wrote all about it and explained how incompetent the Russians were, and he explained exactly where they were going and how they were going to get there. And he said, you know, really, you're wasting your time going crazy on the Russians. Let them do themselves in, and they did. But everybody wants to say it was Ronald Reagan, so that's okay. If you feel better saying it, that's fine. Ronald Reagan did a lot of bad things. It's not either here nor there now because he's long gone and we're past that argument. But here is where we've got a problem. We have a problem today. And the problem today, I hate to say it, but it just is. It's a criminal. His name is Donald Trump, whose stock, by the way, is dropping again. Gee, what a surprise. And, you know, he's got till September. In September, he might be able to unlock whatever's left when it's trading around a buck, buck and a half. But right now, it's back down to 45 and dropping. It'll get down to a buck. Give it time. Anyway, yeah, Donald's a problem. He's a problem not because of just him, but because of what he has incited people to do. And I'm not even just talking about the people who are eating dog food. I'm talking about political leaders, although I shouldn't say leaders. I mean, they're followers, they're obsequious. I always like to bring up that word. When it comes to all the people who follow Trump, that's the word. Obsequious. Go look it up. You'll love it. Donald Trump is tearing apart the Republican Party. He's already torn it apart. I mean, you know, the Lincoln Project and all these different never Trumpers out here, people who just can't abide by any of this. I mean, they know better. They know about democracy, and they know what Trump is doing, and they just don't want to be part of it. And some of those people, like Liz Cheney, are profiles in courage because they have put themselves on the line in a way that may cause them to never get back their political careers. So that's one possibility. Another possibility is that in 5 years, they might be considered heroes. So we're going to have to see on that. I can't prove it, and I don't know. I say what I think I know, and I don't know that one. I really don't. I know that Donald Trump will not be president again. I know everybody's jumping up and down. They think they've got something here, because he's getting some money, because the dog food eaters are all sending in money again. And, you know, wait till we find out how much money he really got. He says $50 million, but, you know, he lies. And he lies and no one cares. And they say, well, what do you expect? He's just a liar. Isn't that what liars are supposed to do? He lies. Greg asks me, it's a great question, Greg. Are you saying Joe Biden is doing a great job? And I'll tell you this. Joe Biden is doing a good job. Great? I don't know. It depends on what great is. Certainly signing this executive order today is not great. I talk to people all the time about sending a million high school graduates down to the border to help assimilate all these people coming across the border. And everybody I talk to says, that's a pretty nice idea. Not bad. I mean, we did it with the Peace Corps. It's not like we haven't ever done this before. Now, I had Joe on here the other day talking about my friend Berger. And, yeah, Berger was screaming about the Peace Corps. It's, you know, he's against it. But that's all right, because Berger's like that. But I will tell you that a lot of people love this idea, but don't want to bring it up because they think that it's like selling cancer in the United States. Because people hate immigrants. Has Donald created that, or did people hate them and Donald tapped into it? I'm going to say probably the latter. Donald probably tapped into it. But not only did he tap into it, but now he's multiplying it. So that's not good. And I'll tell you, even my family, who all lived in California and were bothered by all of the Mexicans crossing the border and coming into Los Angeles and creating problems there, that, or at least perceived problems. Because honestly, if you think that, those people coming across the border are living great lives here on day one, you got to be kidding. We live much better lives ourselves. So here's the answer partly to your question, Greg. Joe Biden has pretty much held this country together. He has. He's kept it where it was. So Greg says, how about those that had their school loans paid off by Biden go to the border? Well, here's a better one for you, Greg. Before this is over, $1.3 trillion in school loans, they're gonna shut them all down. No one's going to pay anymore. And I understand if you paid yours off, then you're looking around and going, well, I paid mine off. Why are these people getting away with it? Well, I'll tell you why. Because the country cannot stand what these loans are doing to it. Now, it won't be like right now. I agree. I mean, you know, it's not like you walk down the street and you'll see people throwing out their loans. No. But when we have a downturn in this economy, when the markets get killed and business turns down, and you know, you're going to see a lot of business failures, you're going to see a lot of unemployment, and you know what? Those loans are not going to be paid by anybody. It's all going to get shut down and thrown away. So that's going to be the end of the loans. They're not going to be paid off. So it's not what Joe Biden's doing. And the fact that, these people got out of $5,000 or $10,000 in loans, big deal. Big deal. What do you care? I'll bet you anything, Greg, that you're doing great. I'll bet you're doing terrific. So stop worrying about it. I talk to conservatives all the time. I say, how are you doing? Oh, I'm doing great. So what are you worried about? That some poor person's going to get something? Is that a problem? Really? Oh, you and I are going to pay for it. Well, you know what? You're right. A half a cent. You won't even know it. You really won't. We have a much bigger problem than those student loans. And the bigger problem is that somewhere down the line, when the economy really is roaring and we do have inflation, uncontrollable maybe inflation, not like Germany, but uncontrollable like maybe the 79, 80, 81, you know, period like that, that'll come back someday. And you know what? We're not going to be able to pay off all those our loans, United States government loans, because our leaders, and now I'm going to say Donald Trump and Joe Biden, the two of them, they sat in office between the two of them about 6 years with interest rates at about 2%. They could have sold long-term bonds as far as the eye could see, and you'd never be worried about anything. So stop worrying about what Joe Biden's doing. He's not doing anything. Donald Trump didn't do it for 4 years. Joe Biden didn't do it for two out of his three so far. They could have bought a program, created a program where the government would have issued bonds all over the world and everybody in the world would have bought our bonds. Our bond prices were just perfect. Everybody wanted in. Everybody was buying our bonds. Our interest rates were practically zero. I mean, short term, they were zero, but 30 years, they were 2%. And by the way, do you want to know about this? Here you go. Go to my website, talkstl.net. Talkstl.net. Go to the reading room. scroll down, and you will find an article from Barron's Magazine. I didn't say Pravda. I didn't say the Daily Worker. It's not a communist deal. This is from Barron's, you know, Dow Jones. And this article is called The Case for 100-Year Bonds. Read it. It's really good. And if we ever get another shot at lower interest rates for a minute, we need to go out and sell them. Greg says bonds were worth nothing. Low interest, low bonds, no interest to build. What are you talking about, Greg? I'm talking about selling these bonds to the world because the world was buying our bonds. This week, they're not. They are definitely not. There is upward pressure on our interest rates, and that's a problem. Donald Trump had 4 years to do it. Joe Biden had 2 years to do it, and neither one of them did it. And that's a shame. But again, neither one did it. That was 6 years. That was a six-year window to sell those bonds, to issue them, and basically to create a mortgage that the United States would have been able to pay off our debt over 100 years at 2%. Now we've got some other potential problems out here. I said potential. It's not now, but it could be. Again, I hear people saying, the Federal Reserve is no good. Listen, go read The Case for 100-Year Bonds. The Federal Reserve knows what they're doing. They've done a great job, and without them, we would have nothing but chaos. And that's why we created the Federal Reserve in the first place. In 1932, we needed the Federal Reserve. Now, I understand we created it in 1913, luckily. And so then, 19 years later, we needed the Federal Reserve to bring those rates all the way down, just like we just did, in order to try to keep us alive during the Depression. No, Greg, that's not what I'm saying. Greg says, so what you're saying, other countries are buying our debt with bonds. No. No. Say it the right way. We issue bonds. When we issue bonds, those bonds are a loan. And those loans have to be paid back. Currently, short-term rates are up to 5%, over 5%. They were zero. So when they were zero, we thought we had great candy, and we just kept borrowing money at zero. But see, now those long-term bonds are going up in interest rates, and that's creating problems if we want to go out and lock in these bonds for sale. For sale, we issue them. This is normal stuff. Go to my website, talkstl.net, and read The Case for 100-Year Bonds. Don't tell me anything until you've read it, because this is not Pravda. It's not The Daily Worker. It's Barron's Magazine. That's what capitalists read. Go read it. Go understand what's going on. And Frieda, you're talking about the FDIC and worried about that? Let me assure you, without the FDIC, this country would be a disaster. In fact, we created it because it was a disaster. Okay, I got to get out of here right now. Go read on my website. It'll help you a lot. And then we can come back and talk about it. I'll be happy to do that. Right now, for Wendy's, for Jules on Hampton, for the St. Louis Suit Company, I'm Mark Kaysen. This is Showdown. Good night.